Good morning. Welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We appreciate you all for tuning into the show. Today is Sunday, January 15th, 2017. I'm Scott Lohman. In studio today are Hertzie Hertz and Georgia Soy. They will be discussing women's experience and religion. Be sure to stay tuned for the American Atheist Viewpoint in the fourth segment of the hour. We welcome listener interaction during the live show with your phone calls to 952-946-6205 or your emails to radio@mnatheist.org. Most religions have a great deal of support from women, yet the religions, most religions, replace women from leadership and deeper participation. Today, Hertzie and Georgia are going to look at that with a focus on Mormonism. We can find links and program archives on the Minnesota Atheist website. Hertzie and Georgia, welcome to Atheist Talk.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
How are you doing this morning, Georgia?
I'm doing awesome. How about you?
Oh, I am awake. I think this is my fourth show, and I still haven't gotten used to being up this early on Sunday morning again.
Yeah, it is a challenge, isn't it?
Oh, yes. So today I wanted to talk to you about growing up as a woman in Mormonism and how the society and such treats women. I know we were talking earlier about some college experiences. Do you mind starting there?
Absolutely. That would be just fine. Well, I guess I can start by saying that before I even started college at Utah State University, I had been accepted there.
Nice.
And I actually received a letter of acceptance from Brigham Young University. The interesting part about that was that I had never applied to Brigham Young University.
Interesting. Do they just do that to anybody who's in Utah and in Mormonism?
You know, it would be interesting to find out if there are any other listeners or people out there that have experienced something similar, because I haven't actually met anybody who had that happen to them.
Hmm.
Apparently, I was recommended by my bishop to go to Brigham Young University.
Hmm.
So it makes you wonder about how you get into a college without applying.
Yeah, because usually you have to say, I'm interested in this college to even get any calls or anything like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in starting at Utah State University as a freshman, I moved into a ladies' dorm, which was a non-cooking dorm, so it was a high-rise building with a bunch of women, most of whom were Mormon.
Mm.
And the university is located in Logan, Utah, which is also a mostly Mormon community. But it is a state school, state-run university. So when I started going, I did start going because you want to be part of the community. I did go to church with the ladies on the floor. I ended up only going a few times before I actually decided that I was done with the Mormon church.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is that after I had attended a few times, I started getting phone calls from men that I didn't know.
How did they get your number?
So, yes. Interesting enough, I did ask one of the first callers, I said, how did you get my number? Because why would someone out of the blue call me that I did not know?
Yeah.
And was told it was the bishop who had passed on my phone number to these young men that were calling.
Oh, that's massive numbers of invasion of privacy.
Yes, wouldn't you think so?
I'm guessing this was the phone number in your dorm room?
Yes.
So how did the bishop get that?
I probably had to supply information when I started going to church. And that information should have been confidential, you would think.
Absolutely.
But apparently not. So,
oh, man. So after you stopped going to the church, did the calls drop and stop?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yep. So, yeah, and I guess one of the things, when I went to college, my goal was to get my degree.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I misunderstood that as a young Mormon woman, if you go to college, you're actually going to find a husband. And specifically, a newly returned missionary.
So the amount of money that you're paying to get this wonderful education, that's all to get a husband.
Yeah.
No. So do you have any, so before college, I'm sure that the Mormon religion and such had an influence on your family. Could you talk about some of that?
Yeah, and I think this might be a good place to maybe talk a little bit more about my mother specifically,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
For women in the Mormon church, the goal for them is to be married and have children. Basically, find a man to take care of you.
Anything else?
No. So she was married early on herself at mm-hmm. the age of 17. Before that, unfortunately, she had experienced, and I recently found this out, that she was raped by a neighbor as a teenager. So this probably influenced some of the things that happened in her life as she was trying to move forward. She then got married at the age of 17 in the temple, which is where you're supposed to get married, to a military man because she wanted to travel. That was one of the things in life that she wanted to do. Well, she ended up in Oklahoma. That was the extent of her travels in this relationship, this marriage. But this man was abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give my mother credit for this. She would never put up with any type of abuse. So that was the one thing that was positive for her, is she would not put up with that. So she ended up getting divorced and then starting college, actually. So she did go to college for a short time.
Now, does the Mormon religion usually allow divorce? I know some...
Yes.
They do? Okay.
Yeah. Yep. It's a difficult process, but you can do it.
All right. So she married this man, divorced him. What happened next?
She actually met my father at a church dance, and they got married. He was 22 years older than she was.
That's an age difference.
Yeah. So that marriage lasted for 10 years and produced three children. So I was the second of the three. I have a brother 3 years older, Carl, and he used to work on the radio show. Today's his birthday, by the way. Happy birthday.
I was just going to mention, I think you said something about a Carl and it being a birthday. And do you want to spill any embarrassing details quick?
No. I guess okay. I can't think of anything.
That's fine. Well, happy birthday, Carl.
And then my youngest sister, Maria. So.
Yes. And you said something about Maria about when she was 14.
I can get there shortly here, but
okay.
Just going on about my mother, and this kind of brings in the Mormon expectations for women. But my mother, after she got divorced, actually went through a period of time where she kind of left the Mormon church and actually had some fun.
Scary thought there.
Yeah, she kind of just went out and started dating and having a good time. With multiple men.
Nice.
And unfortunately, that situation, and I'm sure the Mormons would blame her for this, but when I was 10, she was raped again. And this influenced her because during that period of time when, after the divorce and as the kids were growing up, she actually had fun with us as kids. We would go on road trips together, car trips, and do fun things together as a family. And then after this happened, her behavior became more extreme towards Mormonism. And I can maybe talk a little bit more about that. But
So she basically went back to the church as kind of her, for lack of a better term, therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, that
blamed herself for this situation. It was, of course, it's never a woman's fault, and her behavior became very extreme at that point with us.
And about how old were you and your siblings at the time?
I was 10. My brother's 3 years older, so he's about 13, and my sister's 5 years younger than me, so she was about 5 at that time. So.
So she really grew up with a lot of that extremism her life.
Mm-hmm. Right. My sister did. And I think that influenced her behavior. and what happened to her as a teenager.
Okay.
She basically, my sister kind of went off the rails for a while. And ended up in a foster home because my mother could not control her behavior.
So off the rails, I'm guessing then turning away from the religion and going into things that the religion found extreme and possibly even extreme for even, you know, mainstream life.
Right. Yep. Yeah. She ended up actually at the age of 11 starting to skip school, smoking, hanging out with, the bad kids in the neighborhood, I guess you might say. She got pregnant at 14 and my mother forced her to get married, signed for her to be married at the age of 14.
Oh my goodness. So, and I'm guessing that was that deep part of religion.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh man. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to take a slight, possibly humorous turn. Did you guys ever do the special underwear?
None of us siblings ever got there. My mother has. Her mother was very deeply Mormon.
Yeah, I always found that to be kind of an interesting piece of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll stay with us through the break. We're going to be discussing women and Mormons and some more. So stay with us here. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950, on AM 950 KTNF, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Real estate is one of the biggest financial transactions most people ever make, so keep informed. Tune in each week as Bricks Real Estate presents the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, Sundays starting at noon. Kirk Duckwall, Chad Vandelot, and Brian Durham, the House Geeks, will keep you up to date with industry-leading guests, stats, and local market trends. Again, you can catch them Sundays starting at noon on this station or online anytime through the House Geeks Facebook page.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
There are those that say that the recent severe storms are God's judgment. There are those that say humans are causing climate change. Humanists know that knowledge of our world comes from observation, experimentation, and rational analysis, not from reading horoscopes or old writings. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find meeting times and locations and more at humanistsofmn.org. Like us at Facebook, too, or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Welcome back to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm Scott Lohman. If you have a comment or a question, please call us at 952-946-6205 or send an email to radio at mnatheist.org. Hertzie and Georgia, welcome back to Atheist Talk.
Thank you very much, Scott. So, Georgia, during the break, we were talking about, before we got to the break, we were talking about your sister becoming pregnant at 14 and your mom forcing her into a marriage. And that kind of brought up in the break the human trafficking that goes on in the Mormon religion with women. Could you could you talk about that a little bit?
I can. And really, the mainstream Mormon religion does not advocate that type of situation that happened with my sister. It's the polygamous group that have broken off, that there is more of an issue. There is an issue there.
Oh, yeah.
With marrying off young girls to older men. And I'm sure a lot of listeners are aware of that issue. But at the same time, the expectation is still there. That you get married young and have children, that's your role in life, period.
Human incubator.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, I mean, I experienced that as a teenager, too, in high school with some of my friends being married because they got pregnant early on. And it was an issue, and I believe it still is an issue.
So, do you know the legal age of consent in Utah?
I think it's 16. I'd have to look. But.
Okay. And then I'm guessing the legal age to marry is the usual 18, and then with parental permission.
Yeah, parental permission is a whole other deal. With
permission.
Yeah. Yep.
Force.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's also a pervasive kind of rape culture there, I guess.
Yeah, there is an obvious suppression of sexuality in the religion, in that the specifics of when and how, basically.
And how?
Yes. you're only allowed to have sex after marriage and only in certain ways.
Really? Wow. That's mm-hmm. strict.
Yeah, that's usually a characteristic of controlling religions, is controlling sexuality and, information about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think you mentioned at some point during the break that your mom really kind of kept a tight lid on the media when you were growing up.
Yeah, yep. And so, a lot of my ideas that I had and my forward thinking came from the fact that my mother basically cut off the television and radio at some point, and that was after she was raped and became more extreme.
And this is pre-internet, just...
Yeah, pre-internet.
For younger listeners.
Yes. So we're talking the 80s here, people, so just in case.
Ooh, rotary phones.
Yes. So she did, once she became more extreme, cutting off TV and radio, we were still allowed to go to the public library. So that really influenced where I went as a person growing up and after graduating from high school and wanting to go to college. There are other multiple factors that come into play there. But I had access to whatever books I wanted at the library. And I read a lot as a kid growing up, and so did my brother. And this was a huge influence on our thinking.
Was there any specific book that you think of that kind of pushed you just a little bit more?
I can speak to, as a young kid, probably 10, 11, 12, getting books about the Holocaust.
Ah.
And reading about that and just being just flabbergasted and seeing the pictures in the books and all of those things really did have an influence on world events and religion and how it influences.
Oh, and how people. It's used, yeah. And so, going back to the repressed sexualness in high school specifically, they have any sex education classes?
We did, yeah. And interesting enough, in I think it was middle school.
And was this, sorry, just interrupt, is it public school or?
Public school.
Public school, okay.
Yes, public school. We did go to public school, so that most likely had an influence as well.
As a graduate of public school, definitely.
I'm a big believer in public school.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. But my mother did pull me out when that class happened about sexuality. So I missed that in middle school.
Okay. Did they do it again in high school? Or
in high school, yes. Uh-huh.
And your mom, you were able to fly under the radar with mom?
Yeah, I think at that point, I think, and there's a lot of aspects that we won't have time to discuss today, but that at that time, I was out of the household, my mother's household, due to her behavior and multiple marriages and different things like that that I'm not going to go into today because that would take a long time. but I had moved out at that point and was living with her parents.
All right. So then before when you had to skip that area in middle school, did you use the library to kind of try and get some more information or did you just kind of leave it off the table?
Off the table, I think. I don't recall. The only thing I can tell you is the last time that I met with a bishop of the Mormon Church, which was in my grandparents' ward, so is what we call it. It's the church that you go to, was a conversation with my bishop because apparently you're not supposed to masturbate. You're not supposed to, you know. And so the questions in the interview were, do you masturbate? You are not allowed to do that if you do. There are all kinds of things that kind of made me go, what? This is personal information.
Yeah.
Why are you asking me these questions?
That's just a little invasive.
Uh-huh. You would think.
So of course, you're growing up and your mom kind of quashing the media was in the 80s. Do you think that the internet is helping out Mormon kids nowadays?
I hope it is. I really do. And I've been outside of that because after I graduated from college in 1990, I moved to Minnesota and never went back to Utah. So I removed myself from that culture.
Oh, yeah.
On purpose. At that point, I had long ago left religion. So, but I hope it has a very positive influence on the youth there.
Oh, yeah. Getting them to at least more information about how things work, which, I mean, that's the base knowledge you need for all of that.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. So you and I, you and I emailed just a little bit about this beforehand, and you were talking about that your sister, she lives in Idaho.
Yep.
So how's that for her?
She struggles. And has had a lot of difficulty in the community because since she was a young kid, she really never bought into the religion.
Mm-hmm.
And it has influenced how she's treated in the community.
Okay. Well, we'll continue this in just a moment.
And please stay with us for the break. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Listen to A Woman's Place every weekend on AM 950 Radio to learn about progressive issues from a woman's perspective. We'll hear insights from key leaders of our day and tackle the major issues because all issues are women's issues. Listen every week to A Woman's Place for conversation that ignites change. Join us on Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. or podcast us anytime at am950radio.com.
I'm Roberta Fernandez, host of Minding Your Health. I talk with experts in traditional and alternative healthcare, covering issues like pain, stress, sleep, fears, weight, even parenting. Ordinary concerns that involve your mental and physical health and the quality of your life, and how hypnosis can be a complement to whatever we're discussing. Join me Saturday mornings here at 10 on AM 950, where you learn to take back control.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers, here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Peter Lee. Sunny today, highs in the upper 20s, south winds around 5 miles an hour. Not as cold tonight, mostly clear, some patchy fog after midnight. Mostly cloudy on Monday with a 50% chance of snow in the afternoon, then not as cold, some snow possible on Monday night. The EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Hazel's Northeast, classically inspired, creatively prepared comfort food. Scratch dishes rooted in over 50 years of family tradition that are healthy, hearty, and beautifully served. More information at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
Religion and women are an interesting mix. Most religions rely on women to survive on a day-to-day basis, but work to repress and control them. Welcome back to Atheist Talk on AM 950, KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. If you have a question or a comment, please call us at 952-946-6205 or email to radio at mnatheist.org. I'm Scott Lohman. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheists, the Humanists of Minnesota, and Cucumbers Restaurant. If you'd like to advertise on this program, please contact us at radio at mnatheist.org. This radio program is put together by dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of listeners. If you're able to make help with a donation, please consider doing so at our radio fund page. Minnesota Atheists is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. You can find out more information on the Humanists of Minnesota at humanistsofmn.org. Our music is composed by member Brent Michael Davis. Check on schedule for book clubs, discussion groups, pub crawls, movie nights, and other gatherings throughout the year, as well as sign up for meetups. Listen to podcasts of previous programs. Subscribe to Atheist Weekly email and become a member, all at mnatheist.org. And now back to our final segment with Hertzie Hertz and Georgia Soy.
Thank you very much, Scott. So, Georgia, we were talking over the break about the suppression and of your of media, and actually before the break, about the suppression of the media and such in your childhood, and how that led to some inexperiences and such. And you mentioned a little bit about that during the break. Do you mind if we bring that up again?
Sure. Which one?
When you were basically that you were very inexperienced and that you kind of had a suppression.
As far as sexual suppression, mm-hmm. in the family, we basically don't touch yourself. We don't talk about sexuality.
Don't think about it.
It was. Basically, I didn't really know anything when I started college, and didn't really discover myself as a woman until I was 19. And my first sexual experience was with when I was 21. And that, because, of course, you in going out on dates and making out with someone and just knowing that, or being raised that you're not allowed, nobody's allowed to touch you, et cetera, mm-hmm. Creates some suppression of your normal sexuality.
Yeah.
So my first time I had sex was when I was 21, and I met a guy in a bar that I didn't know this guy, and had sex with someone that I didn't know, which is really, I think it probably happens a lot.
Yeah.
For people who have their sexuality suppressed.
Yeah.
So it was not a good experience, and I wish it would have been a good experience.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that that might be something that a lot of Mormon women, especially those who decide to leave the faith early, kind of go through, is because they've had this suppression for so long of, you know, I'm not allowed to think about this. I can't, you know, everything's been decided for me. And then I guess my curiosity would be, and I don't know if you would know this, is once you get married, are you all of a sudden supposed to be this sexual being?
No, actually.
Oh.
The church likes to control the way you have sex, not only when, but how. So no sex until marriage, and then only the missionary position is allowed.
Okay.
And the goal of sex is to produce children.
So there's not anything else involved.
No. And for me, as I got married when I was 25,
mm-hmm.
And didn't know anything about sexuality until I was close in my 30s.
Wow.
With my second partner. So, and that was a game changer, because I think if you allow yourself to experience sexuality in the way that is comfortable for you and your partner, you're happier.
Yep.
All the way around.
Oh,
so
and we do have a caller.
So
we've got Jim on the line. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
We're good. Go ahead.
Hey, Georgia, are you familiar with a book called From Housewife to Heretic by Sonia Johnson?
I am not familiar with
it. It's almost ancient history at this point. It came out in the early 80s. She was a Mormon. And it's the story of how her husband basically engineered a divorce against her, you know. And actually, she makes it almost sound like a horror story. It is. I don't even know if she's still alive, but it'd be worth looking into.
From housewife to heretic. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll make a note of that.
Okay.
We'll
catch you later.
Thank you, Jim.
Awesome. But that sounds like a really fun book. I know that there's other women who have survived Mormonism who have gone in to write books and such. I know there's one, and of course I'm blanking on the name, but she was actually, she and her husband decided to go into a polygamist cult and going out of that and such, and that was an interesting one.
I think there's a lot out there. There was one that I read about specifically women's stories who had left polygamy as well, and mm-hmm. I cannot remember the name of that book.
The name of the book is coming back, and I think that one was It's Not About Sex.
God's Brothel?
Or something like
that.
Mm-hmm. Which does bring in the question for a society, especially one who, you know, mainstream Mormonism was formally polygamist, for society that's so, you know, sex is this, they seem to have some high rates of pornography use, you mentioned in your email.
Yes, Utah is, I believe, and this may have changed since I've seen
the statistics?
The statistics, but Utah is number one for pornography use.
Interesting.
In the nation. When your sexuality is suppressed like that, this is the only way you can do it and when,
mm-hmm.
that does drive some of that curiosity.
Absolutely.
Oh, really? Aren't there other ways that we could do this that would be enjoyable? I totally get that.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting because I know that sometimes people will bring up, you know, we need to cover up. And then it's like I look at countries that have burqas and such, and I'm like, well, the rape the rape and problems that they have are very similar to some of the problems we have with what people are calling over-sexualization. And some of it is legitimately over-sexualization.
Right.
Other times it's just summer and hot. And so it's just kind of interesting. It's like there's a medium in there that people just don't want to accept.
That's right. Yeah.
On a more serious note, though, they're also Mormonism religion also seems to have a problem with that sexual abuse of children and women in general.
Yeah.
I mean, your mother had her experiences.
Right.
And I think you mentioned an aunt.
I do have her sister, mm-hmm. her one sister, actually, as a teenager, got pregnant as a teenager and had a son and then had two other illegitimate children. And her first marriage that she went into was with someone who happened to be a pedophile.
Oh, my.
And this was a prolific situation in our family in that us cousins were all pretty similar in age, so we spent a lot of time together. So this was an issue that spread throughout the family.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And I think over the break you mentioned a number about how many children would experience a sexual abuse situation in the Mormon religion.
Well, this is a state issue,
uh-huh.
but and really, I didn't have time to look at statistics in the Mormon churches versus outside of the religion, but the state issue is that over 70% of girls in Utah will experience some type of sexual abuse.
Oh my goodness.
Before they turn 18. And this was from the state website that I looked at. So I would encourage those who are interested to go to that state website, Utah, and it does give you the statistics. The sad thing about this is that most of these incidents are not reported.
Yep.
Because what happens is there is a culture in the Mormon church where you go to the bishop, kind of like the Catholic church, where you go to the higher authority and report it, and they try to work with the parties to resolve the issue before it becomes a legal issue. And so there's a lot of information online about these situations, blogs and statistics that people can look at. But it is a real issue.
Yeah, and to give some context, I'm looking at the National Center for Victims of Crime site. And for sexual abuse statistics, they say 1 in 5 girls and 1 in 20 boys are victims of sexual abuse. So figuring 70% of girls, that's 7 out of 10.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's an unfortunate issue, and it really truly makes me sad that this is still going on, because I know, based on what I'm seeing statistic-wise, I don't think the culture has changed much from when I left in 1990. I think it's very similar, and unfortunately, unless people speak out and try to do something about it, it's not going to change.
Yeah.
So,
do you still have any connections in the Mormon Church, or?
No, actually, I don't. I have very little contact with my mother. She does have a mental illness. Does not treat her condition. Was diagnosed as probably in her 30s, and her sister was diagnosed schizophrenic.
Oh my!
Which, unfortunately, if you look at there's some research that's been done that unfortunately for people who are mentally ill, they're more likely to become extremely religious, and both of them are in that category.
Oh wow! So and then you said your sister before the break. You said your sister, she lives in Idaho, which has a very high Mormonism rate. So I'm guessing, does she ever call you and just being like, "Oh my goodness, please"?
Oh yes, we do talk frequently, and my brother talks to her as well. So we have a lot of communication. We'd love to have her come move out here. We know she'd be a lot happier.
It may be colder, but we're a little saner.
Absolutely, yes. Unfortunately for her, she is a dog groomer and has a business out of her home and has not gotten a lot of business because she's not Mormon. About 89% of the community in that she lives in Pocatello is Mormon. Her neighbors won't talk to her because she's not Mormon. She loves to talk to people. She's a very outgoing person, and when she goes shopping, will try to engage in conversation and tells me it's like speaking to a zombie because they just don't get it. They
Ouch.
Can't have a conversation outside of what they believe.
That's got to be tough. Well, if she wants, I mean, I've got two. I don't have a dog, but I have two cats who could definitely use some help. But thank you very much for joining us, Georgia. I hope that we have this conversation again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Artsy and Georgia. And I'd like to thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. I'm Scott Lohman. This show depends on the generous support of our members, our sponsors, and donors. Join us again next Sunday. Please consider supporting the show through the donation link on mnatheist.org. The podcast for the show will be on the radio page later today. Stay tuned for the American Atheist Viewpoint coming up in the next segment. This has been Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Inauguration Day is coming up, and you know who will be taking office. Womp womp. And while it certainly won't be a great day for the country, you can at least turn some of that despair into hope with AM 950's Counter-Inauguration Dinner. On Friday, January 20th at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club, it will be a fun night with your chance to come together with like-minded progressives to discuss how we move forward while enjoying a delicious dinner and listening to great music from AM 950's own Paul Metza. Your mouth-watering meal includes a choice of peppercorn grilled sirloin, pan-seared chicken, or eggplant parmesan. Doors open at 5:30 p.m., dinner's at 6:30 in the beautiful Dunsmore Room at Crooner's. Come early for happy hour and stick around after dinner to hear Mick Sterling and the Irresistibles. Tickets with dinner are $35 if you get them early and $40 at the door. That's AM 950's Counter-Inauguration Dinner on Friday, January 20th at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. Tickets and more details at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly. Plus, our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers. With scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words Click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Hello and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint for Sunday, January 15th, 2016. I'm Nick Fish, the National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you as always for joining us. This week, up on Capitol Hill, we had a number of confirmation hearings, especially the one for Senator Jeff Sessions, who has been nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. This is a confirmation hearing that many of us were keeping an eye on. This is a confirmation hearing that a lot of church-state separation groups, as well as LGBT organizations, racial justice, all sorts of other organizations, have been keeping an eye on, because Senator Sessions has a track record that, shall we say, has been less than ideal for a number of these marginalized groups. Senator Sessions has said that the LGBT community doesn't face any sort of real discrimination in the United States, so laws intended to protect LGBT people are not really that needed because they don't face the sort of discrimination that he would classify as real discrimination. So there have been some issues here. I want to play just a little clip here of some of the testimony from Senator Sessions. In this, the first voice you'll hear is Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who is a senator from Rhode Island, asking Senator Sessions about whether or not secular attorneys would have anything to fear, and these are secular career attorneys within the Justice Department, if they would have anything to fear within the Justice Department. So let's start right there.
Does a secular attorney have anything to fear from an Attorney General Sessions in the Department of Justice?
Well, no. And now you use that word in the 90,000-foot level of a little concern I have that we as a nation, I believe, are reaching a level in which truth is not sufficiently respected, that the very ideal, the idea of truth is not believed to be real, and that all of life is just a matter of your perspective and my perspective, which I think is contrary to the American heritage. So that's just a kind of a criticism of man. But we are not a theocracy. Nobody should be required to believe anything. I share Thomas Jefferson's words on the memorial over here. I swear eternal hostility over any domination of the mind of man. And I think we should respect people's views and not demand any kind of religious test for holding office.
And a secular person has just as good a claim to understanding the truth as a person who is religious, correct?
Well, I'm not sure. And what method? Is it less a objectively committed to
the methods that an attorney would bring to bear?
Well, let me just say, we're going to treat anybody with different views fairly and objectively. And the ideal of truth and trying to achieve the right solution, to me, is an important goal of the American jurisprudential system, actually our legislative system. What is the right thing? What is true? And let's act on it and do the right thing. That's all.
So if you're watching the hearing when this happened, the look on Senator Sessions' face when he said, oh, well, I don't know if secularists or secular attorneys have just as good a claim on knowing the truth as anybody else, he seemed to think he was making a joke, or he thought he was being funny. He thought he was kind of wink-wink nudging Senator Whitehouse about, you know, those secularists, they think they know the truth, but they don't know the real truth. What Senator Sessions is talking about here is a very specific meaning of the truth to him, which is, you know, biblical truth. He's talking about what it means to, you know, the sort of existential truth of the nature of reality. And it's ironic to hear somebody who doesn't believe in climate, who doesn't understand climate change, doesn't think that it's real, somebody who, you know, doesn't think that LGBT people experience discrimination, talking about, you know, one opinion versus the other, and that's all that there is. Well, no, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that there's a constitution that protects people's right to believe religiously the things that they want to believe, but that we should not be making public policy based on those things. This goes back to something that Sessions actually said, and this was reported in the Daily Beast by Jay Michelson, where Jeff Sessions received an award from David Horowitz, who has given the same award to some rather unseemly folks, So what he said was, ultimately, and this is a direct quote from Sessions, ultimately freedom of speech is about ascertaining the truth. And if you don't believe there's a truth, you don't believe in truth. If you're an utter secularist, then how do we operate this government? How can we form a democracy of the kind I think you and I believe in? I do believe that we are a nation that, without God, there is no truth. And it's all about power, ideology, advancement, agenda, not doing the public service. End quote. So he's basically saying that if you don't believe in God, you're not qualified or you're not able to run a government, that you're not able to lead a functional democracy because, and this is the scariest part about this, he said that freedom of speech is about learning the truth. Well, no, freedom of speech is about freedom of speech. It's not about ascertaining a biblical truth, as he seems to think. You know, this ought to be, quite frankly, disqualifying from any person who values the separation of religion from government. This ought to be a disqualifying statement from Jeff Sessions, coupled with the statements that he's made that he made at his confirmation hearing, and coupled with other attacks on secularism that he has levied. We at American Atheists have opposed Jeff Sessions' nomination. We are part of the Stop Sessions Coalition. We've been encouraging folks to call their members of their members of the Senate, especially if they're part of the Senate Judiciary Committee, to block this nomination. Senator Sessions is temperamentally unqualified to carry out enforcement of laws that are designed to protect marginalized minorities. His record on a variety of issues, on immigration, on on racial issues and on women's issues and on LGBT issues, are concerning enough. But when you heap on top yet another thing here, his position apparently that those of us who are non-religious, those of us who are atheists, are completely unqualified to be a part of government. I don't know what it would take for a person to look at his record and say, oh, this is fine. I don't know why anyone would look at the summation of everything he says and everything he's done and look at that and go, well, this is fine. I agree with him on this one issue, but, there's even if you agree with him, that's what I'm getting at, even if you agree with him, let's say, on immigration. And I doubt there are a whole lot of people listening to this, the sound of my voice, for whom that's the case, but if so, fine. If you look at the sum total of the parts, it shows an utter disregard for the fact that people are discriminated against in this country, and that secularism and that church-state separation and that those are the most important parts about dealing with religion and government, that making public policy to reinforce quote-unquote biblical truth is a dangerous position to get in. And for that reason, if you're hearing me right now, go to atheistvoter.org /stopsessions and call your member of Congress. That's all the time I have for this week. Lots more coming up on these confirmation hearings. Visit our website, atheists.org, for more information about things we're working on, as well as atheistvoter.org as the confirmation hearings continue. Thanks a bunch, and we'll talk to you next week.